I'm going to talk about some general idea and what I have done and discussion on some issues in the development application of UAV for crop protection and production. Actually, in general, UAV in agriculture just the application two categories. One, there are some others, but not minor. There's two main. So it's a crop protection. Basically, it's a low volume, a real chemical application. I want to put a volume, a low volume there. So also the crop production, basically it's a high resolution remote sensing of crop field. So basically these two. So, and UAV is a unique platform. And UAV can be operated on small and huge side fields to apply crop protection and production material. And also, they can acquire temporal spatial data, this high quality data compared to other platforms. Anyway, I'll explain a little later. To monitor relative large crop fields, but like a satellite system, typically for large-scale observation, and like a manned aircraft, typically cannot fly low and slow enough to for the data we want. And also, the ground, we have a lot of ground on the goals system. System, of course, they can have very good data, but they are typically the point. It's not a continuous measurement, it's point measurement and also restricted by the field condition. And UAV operation is currently the two part still separate, a real application and airborne remote sensing. And I think in the near future they are integrated together. And it's a low altitude remote sensing plus the real chemical application. And like we have two ways to run it at least, like a real time, maybe single plan, one pass, or near real time is a double plan, two passes. One pass for remote sensing to rapidly generate the prescription data. The second pass just apply. So that's a And this what I developed is a volume spray system on a UAV helicopter. This boom, you can put a rotary nozzle. It's two. You can put a three or something like that. This the tank. This spray boom. This the controller, and also the liquid gear pump or something like that. This helicopter is a 22.7 kilogram maximum payload, but actual payload is only 15.75, but because we have to deduct the application system. Yes, look at it. It's a 7.7 kilogram of spray system, the spray system plus 5.7 kilogram chemicals, 1.5 gallons, integrated with the UAV flight control system for automated electronic control. And also, this is the unique part. The spray system delivers small droplets as 50 micrometer of VMD. For effective vector control. We have a paper published in the journal. So on this part, and after that we evaluated the system for the sprayer field evaluation. We designed it based on its application rate like a 0.3 liter per hectare delivered to cover 14 hectare permission. That's a requirement. And 1.5 gallon tank liquid with 3.3 kilogram per gallon specific gravity needed to cover the 14 hectare land. And we have a 30 meter spray swath, and we want to run the 2.2 meter per second flight speed. And also each nozzle calibrated to the based on the data calibrated to the 100 milliliter per minute. And so for the UAV itself is a 1 gallon gas tank. It can run 45 minutes. So based on the design, we run the spray in swath deposition field experiment. We use a 3 micronear ultra low volume, the A plus rotary nozzle to cover the 14 hectare. We use this, we only need 19 minutes instead of 45 minutes. We just cover. So we done the job. So we use a BVA oil to mimic the actual chemical. So we have no active ingredient in the experiment. So we release height at 3.7 meter and 6.1 meter, and we run the electric power, DC power is 4 volt and 6 volt to see the effect. And also the boom structure moving at just like I said, 2.2 meter per second speed. Also we use a UV tax or fluorescence dye used as this stone to relate it to the spray deposition. This the experiment side layout. This is the spray structure moving direction, and this is the downwind direction, and this 30 meter swath. This the zero meter downwind, and the 6 meters, 12 meters, all the way to 42 meters. And we have we have two spray measuring devices used. One is the monofilament line for each of them. Each distance, that's a fish line. We have a dye on it. So also the at this 6 meter, 18 meter, and the 30 meter, 42 meter, we put the hot rotary impactor. That's a sprayer. Actually, it's a plastic bar, and we make it rotary to capture the small droplet size. So it's a very effective. So that's what we got. So the result, monofilament line experiment design. So look at the mean separation, different voltage. They are really significantly different. But the pre-release height, not really. Also look at the deposition downwind. Actually, it's very interesting. They are not like a regular. We have to know this is only 50 micrometer droplet size. Not like a regular agricultural one. It's a 300. It's a big droplet, 300 micro droplet size. 300 typically the curve is like this, but this one is like this. Actually, the small droplet is floating in the air much longer time than the big droplet. So. And the similar result is spinner results. But the spinner result is, voltage, not as significant, the different voltage. And the release height also not. But also look at here, it's maybe the wind, this wind is blowing here and it's floating here. It's only rapidly drop down like a big droplet size. Big droplet. So the conclusion, the UAV-based low-volume spray are able to atomize tank liquid to cover the area 30 meter swath and 42 meters downwind. And obviously, the terrain of the in-swath deposition was much different from a regular crop spring. Typically there is around 300 micrometer droplet size. Because the tiny droplet size of 50 micrometer is for the vector control, so that's a little different. So in this way, so it's also the you want to see the complete profile, maybe we need a more farther in the far field, not just like here is the near field study. Maybe we need that to do more. It's a far field drift study maybe needed to obtain the complete spray deposition profile. So that's a so we are working on it. We are going to publish this part of work. And so I have some thinking about the chemical application using UAV. Actually, the UAV deliver a lot of people trying to do that. 300 or this type of 300 nanometer is a micrometer. Micrometer droplet size with 5 to 30 liter liquid tank capacity with a spray rate 1 to 2 liter per hectare. A lot of people, I know a lot of people right now develop the thing. I know it's a especially in China, I know that they are doing this like this. So, but the you know the air tractor with the 400 gallon, air tractor has a 400 gallon tank capacity, like this equivalent this much liters. So with the spray rate typically the 5 gallon per acre is the 47 liter per hectare. That means the UAV has to at least reload 50 times to match up the manned aircraft capacity, but the efficacy, but the efficiency and efficacy is much, much more different, I think. But the people are smart, talented. I saw in China, you cannot believe it until you see it. They launched maybe the 5-10 UAV in parallel running together, just like a bird, a group of birds. You cannot believe that. That might work, but we have to evaluate. That is really can solve the problem or not. But we have comments here. This NAAA is a your American National Association of the Agricultural Aviation, Executive Director Andrew Moore, he stated that there may be a place for U.S. within agriculture in the future. I foresee a big part of the technology being beneficial for checking crops and determining when and where in the field the most efficacious application should be made. No doubt about this part. I think that's remote sensing, the task. No doubt. But look at it later. In regard to application, however, current UAS are too smaller to be efficient for agriculture in the U.S., where fields are much larger than in Japan. So the ability to make timely application as well as the due and the label cost associated with multiple reloading will put a 20-gallon UAS at a markedly disadvantage compared to today's significantly larger manned agricultural aircraft. I totally agree with this. So, yeah, so we have to think, so we are developing the technology. But if we have no chance, yes, we still have it. Look at the, I think this morning, but he talked about the Ken Jiao's work, I think. So he's very, very smart. Look at what he did. UC Davis, Dr. Ken Jiao. He did research. They recently used a 200-pound RMAX, a Japanese, that's a Yamaha helicopter with a slightly more than 4 gallons Hooper capacity in the experimental scenario as a researcher gathered data on the likelihood of potential agricultural pesticide application use. According to the Dr. Professor Kanyaya, look at here, I think the entry point for the helicopter would be to use them on hillside farms where the terrain is hazardous and time consuming for tractors to navigate. I think that's a real place UAV has to work, especially in the US, at least, I think. So, yes. Okay, let's move on to the remote sensing part. So, it's a remote sensing, you know, we have a challenge in remote sensing. From in past few years, we use a manned aircraft. Actually, we measure before the canopy closed. Look at this. This is the image we got, for example. But what is the problem? It's the soil impact to make the image segmentation from vegetation difficult. So if you zoom in the image, I should show the zoom in so you can see that. And also difficult to separate the crop from weeds. You cannot do that. So typically, it's a 300 meter flight altitude for 20 centimeter spatial resolution. That's the manned aircraft. It's very hard to be lower than that. So the flight altitude. Maybe we can use a better camera it's a pretty. That's the theme of the manned aircraft, the platform right now. So the UAV provide an opportunity like this kind of a low cost UAV. So we fly the field. For example, you will see the RGB image with the multi-copter. Look at the detail. Look at the weeds and the crop. So it's a very, very high resolution. This is a 30 meter high, the flight. And we base our data, this is our experimental plot, so given the treatment. So we generate the RGB image, we generate the digital surface model, we generate the digital elevation model. So we can use the data to answer different questions. And also we use the fixed wing, we fly the 50 meter high. Look at the steel. We got a lot of detail. So that's for the manned aircraft, the system we have, we use the MS-4100, no way to get such a detail. This is the color infrared image. So this is the color infrared image. This is the NDVI. Actually, this image, we can generate some other vegetation index, not necessarily NDVI. So, I want to talk about a little bit about the calibration of the UAV imagery. Actually, I know different people different way. They use the camera to image the plane before and after the flight, or they use the tarps. But however, this relative method cannot provide instantaneous reference to all the images necessary to cover the field. Because to cover the field, you know, the image that the UAV fly very really low, so we need a group of image. So most of the image cannot see these tarps, even you spread it. So that's a generate the calibration error. Also, theoretical methods like a radioactive transfer analysis require many parameters lookup, which are not reliable also. So this kind of camera provide an opportunity. It's very good. It's a UAV imagery calibration with an incident light sensor. Like this kind of camera, they have five bands, color infrared, and one band is the incident light sensor. They can calibrate internally to generate the radiometric is a corrected image. However, this one is pretty expensive. At the very beginning, I think the initial price about $20,000. Right now, maybe down to $15,000, but still expensive. But I think so. We have some other ways. For example, is we can generally use the camera sensor calibration and the irradiance sensor. We can generate a generic absolutely calibration procedure. We can use it for different sensors. We can convert the digital number of the raw image to the radiance image based on the camera calibration. And qualified solar irradiance at the time of the image are required. And then we use this equation to generate reflect. But the problem is we have no such a generic irradiance sensor yet. So maybe we are waiting for this. We use we have this. It's only RGB and near infrared band. They match up pretty much match up the land side band. So that kind. You have some other camera. They have a narrow band. You cannot match up. So that's what I mean. So eventually, so I have made some comments on the agricultural UAV. So whatever you are doing research or you are using the UAV, you have to always ask yourself why you use the UAV. So UAV is really a platform, unique platform between the manned aircraft and the ground system. It is. But if you really need that, you have to think of it. Don't just say, okay, I like it, I just do it. So that doesn't make sense. So, and also, agricultural UAV began from the UAV crop dusting in Japan, from Yamaha, actually. And now mostly from crop monitoring, that is low altitude remote sensing. What else can UAV do for agriculture? Yeah, there are some possibilities. I know most creative one. They use the UAV turbulence to make the rise of pollination. That's very creative. So you have no sensor, just blow it. So it really works. So they replace the manual labor. So very much. So that's another thing. And also most agricultural UAV are the low end product. In the UAV industry, equipped with the low-end sensors, with the limited payload, short endurance time, and the low flight height, and the slow flight speed. So, I think I don't expect too much. They are supplement, but not replacement of the manned system. So, that's what I think. So, thank you.